I'd like to welcome you back to Sackbaugh. And wasn't lunch great? Just before we begin with questions, I would like to just take a moment to announce the next couple of sessions. Next week at Sackbaugh, the topic will be balancing the demand on our scarce water resources. The speaker is Kathleen Murphy from Alberta Environment South Region. And on June 5th, we have a very, very special session. And it's on recognizing Gordon Campbell's contribution and his ongoing dedication to Sackbaugh. And so it will be a bit of a roast, but it's not about his life, it's about his contribution and his dedication to such a this wonderful forum that is still living on. And we hope anybody has stories, there'll be an open mic. I think that's the way we planned it. Anyway, so those are the next two. And so I just want to remind you that and these sessions will also be on the web at SACPAW, www.sacpaw.ca. And other programs that are on there can be heard in audio and on the website. And there is, which I just discovered today, that you can write comments on the session. So that also provides on the website to keep the discussion going, which I think is really cool. So we will get back to our topic today, tasers, rules of engagement. And we invite the presenters to return to the podium. And I would like to remind the questioners to come to the mic, state their names, and to keep comments brief and limit themselves to one or two questions. And please, I apologize ahead of time, no questions from the floor. So we welcome questions. The floor is open. Do you scare them, Tom?
I'm not sure. Been very pleased to answer any questions. I know we heard one at the table there, and I mentioned to Jay, and we didn't get around to it over lunch, but there was a question around paying compliance. Very simply put, we bring about compliance by paying sometimes. So, again, when I was a young officer and not knowing much better, when we were patrolling the downtown streets and you came across a person in delirium, it was unconscious, usually due to intoxicated state, there's a couple different compliant points that you can bring about to wake a guy up and determine his state of delirium or his state of consciousness. Wrongfully so, sometimes it was a quick kick to the bottom of their foot with your foot. And if they would jump, you would know that they were somewhat compliant. You can well imagine what most people witnessing that would have thought. Doesn't look very good, a police officer kicking somebody in the bottom of the foot. But it was a way of separating and creating distance for us so that we could arouse them. And I guarantee you they weren't a football kick. It wasn't a place kick trying to make the 62-yard field goal. It was more like the little 5-yard punch. And it was just a nudge, wake them up, see what it is. When you weren't compliant there, you can come in and you can actually push into the fingernail. And then you look to see, it can determine again if there's shock or something there for an injury, but it also is a very painful thing. And if you just do that to yourself, you can see that if you're kind of sleeping, it's going to wake you up. You can come in behind the ear here and you can push and you can bring about compliance from there, even onto the back of the neck. But there's very serious consequences about doing that, and we have to be careful in how we do it. Better stated, sometimes if we're trying to handcuff individuals that are combative, there's wrist locks, and when we bend your wrist, there's pain. It generally makes you compliant and lets you deliver your arm behind your back. We encourage our officers in the use of force model. These are all things that have gone through testing, through approval of the SOLGEN and whatnot. The best weapon we have, and it's a weapon that I've been proud of, like through my career, the number of confrontations I've had physically, whether it be my size or whether it was maybe my gift of gab, the ability to actually defuse situations. Also, a lot of it comes from working in a small community where I had strong support and a well-respected service. So our officers are taught verbal judo, bring about compliance, and provide directions. But sometimes we have to go to pain. So what Jason is saying is this device is not designed to deliver pain, and that was to clarify
we
that.
We have a lineup now for you.
Great.
So, come on up, please. Jason, why don't you come up?
A Maynard Hanyuk, I have a question. With the once you shoot at the individual, can you give them another jolt with the, or is it just the single jolt that they get? And then once the you have fired it, you put new cartridges in the laser?
Good question. If I had more time, I would have mentioned that. But yes, absolutely. The device is designed so that when you deploy it, so that when you pull the trigger, it's designed to cycle for 5 seconds. At any time during that 5 seconds, the officer can certainly turn the power off and stop that cycle. So it's designed to cycle for 5 seconds and shut off. If the officer holds the trigger down, it'll, as long as he's holding the trigger, it'll continue to cycle. And as soon as he lets his finger off, then it'll stop if it's past that 5 seconds. He can certainly deploy it, take his finger off the trigger, let it cycle for 5 seconds. It'll stop if they've reassessed the situation and decided to deploy it again. They can certainly pull the trigger again, and it'll cycle for another 5 seconds. Now, that being said, if you have a cartridge on the end of the taser, and I did bring a taser, I do have a cartridge, and I can certainly show you. Once you've deployed those probes, you can't deploy any more from that cartridge. So if you're going to, for example, deploy it from a distance, and unfortunately you miss, you would have to remove that cartridge, get a secondary cartridge, put it on, and deploy it again. So there is that option as well.
I mentioned it's recorded.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, sorry, just on that note, a good recording feature, not only do we have to report these things by way of filling out reports, but the tasers themselves have internal computers. They're basically a mini computer, and every time that trigger is pulled, it records that in its memory internally. And so myself as an instructor and a reviewer, every time that we've deployed this on the street, we download that every single time. So that when our officers come in and say, you know what, I had to deploy it, it was a 5 second cycle, that's it, this is what happened, they articulate their reasoning and we're reviewing it, I download that as part of our procedures so I can review that internal history and it date stamps it and time stamps it for how long, the temperature outside, you name it, it's got it on there. So it tells us exactly how long that thing was pressed for.
My name is Bobby Pendergast, and thank you very much for your informative talk. I was just wondering if you can vary the strength of the output depending on the size of the individual that you're tasering. Or does it just go by the number of jolts that go out? For example, like a 100-pound person compared to a 250-pound person.
Question. The answer is really simple. No, it's set from the factory, where it's tested, and it has to meet specific guidelines and safety measures at the factory. And there is no way of altering that. We can't bring it to our service and say, well, you know what, we're going to turn it up a little bit so we get better compliance. No, we can't do that. It's set from the factory.
Oh,
yes, certainly. On that same note, the voltage, and you hear this in the media a lot, at least I do, when I'm reviewing these things and watching